I want to show you my first Bible. I'm sure I was given something when I was baptized as an infant, but this is the first Bible I ever used. And Matthew 7 verse 7 is a verse etched in my mind because it's the verse that my friend Mary wrote on the inside cover, and you can see what she wrote on there. She gave me this Bible in the autumn of 1989. I was a student at Leeds University. Mary had a very strong Christian faith. She clearly saw me as someone who the Lord was beginning to stir. I was a 20-year-old unbeliever trying to think, what on earth's life all about? Do you ever reach that stage in your life where you've done the things and you've achieved certain things and you realize life by achievement doesn't satisfy? And you think, now what? What is life about? I was reaching that stage. And I was bemused by the gift. I wasn't expecting it. She grabbed me in a corridor. I was on the way to a lecture. She thrust this thing at me. And because I was a very obedient young man, I started reading Mark's Gospel, she told me, start reading. But I wasn't ready for God. I very quickly gave up. It took another 15 months. But this was a well-loved Bible. I struggle to read it now because it's in bits and it will fall apart all over the floor. But it was a really blessed gift. 15 months it took. But that verse has always been key. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Shall we read this together? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Okay, there's promises galore there. This is a verse of promise. So I need a helper. I'm really sorry, my love. Would you be willing to act as my helper? Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Can I give you this? Is this one on? Hello, hello, hello. Wonderful.
Okay.
Remember, this is all age. This is not a children's service. This is all age. The question goes to every single one of you. There are promises galore in that passage. What are the promises in the passage? God's got amazing promises. Put your hand up. Feel come to you. What are the promises? What do we need to hold on to from a verse like that? Go for it. What are the promises in that passage?
If you ask, it will be given.
You ask, it will be given. Good. Come on, more guys. There's more. Ask, it will be given. Yeah, go for it.
Knock and the door will be opened.
Knock and the door will be opened. I like it. Not if or possibly or maybe, you know, on the right day at the right time. If you get it right, it will be opened. Yep, go for it.
Seek and you will find.
Seek and you will find. You will find. Not you might find. You will find. Anything else that grabs you. There you go. It's back if you need it. Anything else? Oh, yes, there's more. Yeah, go for it.
Knock and the door will be opened.
Yeah, it will be open, absolutely. And the lady here in the front as well, just a bit forward. Yeah, 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 go for it.
Everyone who asks will receive.
Yeah. Do you know, there's something rather special about this verse. I mean, fundamentally, sorry, do you mind holding on to it, love? There's something fundamental here. If we persist in asking, comes the flow, the Lord hears and prayer is answered. Now, of course, I could be incredibly simplistic about this, but we know full well it's not quite as straightforward as all that. The promises hold firm. Don't get me wrong, the promises hold firm, but we need to explore a little. And I think the promises in those verses are some of the best in the Bible, but I think there are times when we're a bit nervous about it. We're really a bit nervous about it. And I don't think it's because we just lack faith. I think that would be too simplistic for somebody to say, oh, we just lack faith. I think there are points about these verses, ask, seek, knock. And we struggle with it because it cuts across the way we're brought up as children. So what I'd like you to do, where you're sitting, alongside the people who you're sitting next to, just for a couple of minutes, can you share any reason why or anything you feel uncomfortable about with the promises? Be as totally honest as you like, because that's how we move forward. If you can say why you struggle with those promises, again, that would be cool. And then if you like, as your follow-up, could these verses be misused? How might they have been misused? How could a naughty preacher twist them and do it all wrong? So just for a couple of minutes, where you're sitting, just turn to the people next to you if you're happy. If you need to keep social distance, do that. Talk louder. It's fine. But have a chat. Answer the questions. I'll come back to you in a couple of minutes, okay? Go for it. Okay, I'm going to draw you back. And I'm going to ask Fee to take the microphone again. And just if anybody wants to share, you can. So if you're all right to do that. What really sparked these questions for me is, I mean, with all due respect to my parents, I was not brought up in a family home where we practiced the Christian faith. And I think back to my childhood Christmases and birthdays, and I think about asking and knocking and seeking and finding and receiving. And I think about the things my parents used to say to me as a small child, when I used to be a little too persistent. So I wonder how many of these things affect us. So go on. Anyone who'd like to share something, we'll just have a brief time. Anybody wants to share something, pop your hand up and please just share it. Any of those responses, something that gets you this morning thinking about this. Yeah, go for it.
I suppose the Bible can be taken quite literally, but I suppose it's about reading into understanding that. It's about asking for realistic things and not expecting things which you really shouldn't be asking for.
Yeah. No, thank you. It's about what we're asking for and being realistic about what we're asking for, and obviously God's will, which we'll come on to. Yeah, so thank you. Yeah, at the back there. Is that Jan? Yeah.
I think we are not always prepared to wait for God's time frame. We want it now.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're in an instant world, aren't we? You know, letters used to take days to arrive and days to be answered. Now your email pops in to my inbox and do you think I'm not there if I haven't replied within a few hours? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? But we're instant world. Instant world. Anyone else? Yeah, Libby. And then Joe.
We might ask in prayer for someone's healing and then it's uncomfortable if we feel it hasn't happened.
Yep. 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 Healing is very much in the heart of God, but it doesn't mean to say that healing will happen. Absolutely. And Joe, yeah.
If the promises are for me, then they're for everyone else as well, and I might not like the everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, that's brave. Thank you. And Chris, yeah.
I can't work out whether it was explicitly or implicitly something that I was brought up with not to ask. To wait for somebody to give it to me rather than to ask for it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, that resonates with me. Ruth, yeah.
I was taught as a child, a very young child, to ask the Lord to help me. And I know every time I need help, I only hold my chin and say, I've had lots of operations. And I when I come out of them, I just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me again and again and again. And I know he always will.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you. Bless you for sharing. Thank you. Yeah. And last one, Angie. Yeah. Thank you, Ruth.
I was thinking of, yes, we ask according to God's will, but he also looks on the motive of our hearts.
Yes, absolutely right. There's so many things that you could answer to these. I mean, here's just some of my thoughts, really. I can remember to be told when I was a child, stop asking. I can remember being told, stop asking. Okay, your sound clip is coming, all right? It's the warning to the desk. Or how about inappropriate requests? I couldn't resist.
Oh, Lord! Won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Bless Janis Joplin. Yes, inappropriate requests. Yeah. I may keep praying that my football team will win, but I recognise it isn't always going to happen. Didn't happen yesterday, did it? Never mind. Graham will commiserate later. Yeah. We don't always get what we need or want, if we're really honest. Now, what we need is an interesting one, because it's perception. And sometimes needs and wants we confuse, and I'll tease that apart in a bit. But I do sometimes get people saying, well, aren't my requests trivial compared to world issues? I mean, you only have to look at whether it's the Taliban, Afghanistan, or Haiti, an earthquake, or whatever, and sometimes my wants seem very trivial. All of those things may be reasons you struggle, but it doesn't change the promise. The promise is the same. We just need to understand the promises and the one behind them better. Because I think often we struggle when we miss the one behind them. So I want us to think about the one behind them, and I'm going to ask you another question. And this is a really, really simple one, I hope, with the people next to you. Who was your best teacher? This is a week when A-level and GCSE results have come out. Who was your best teacher at school? Who is the person you remember, and why were they amazing? And if you can remember their name, they were either amazing or they were pretty awful. But something's logged in your head. Let's not deal with the pretty awful, please. Let's be positive. So, hold on, just with the people where you are for 1 minute. Who was the teacher in your mind who was like, wow, and why were they amazing? Is that all right, just for 1 minute? Just quickly share. Go for it. Okay, I'm going to stop you because I reckon this one's more straightforward. Now, with appropriate sensitivities for teachers or ex-teachers in this building, of which there's a few of us, we are sharing best teacher, please. No bad stories. I literally want to hear, because this would be lovely. Wouldn't it be lovely if somebody actually was tuning in this morning, heard their name mentioned, and why they were amazing? Let's do the blessing thing this morning, please. We're only going to have, let's say, four people. I want the name of your teacher and why they were amazing in one sentence. If you can do it, put your hand in the air. Right at the back, my love. Right at the back. Do you want to head the very back? Keep going. We've got a number right at the back. Name of the teacher, why they were amazing, one sentence. Go for it.
My best teacher was Annette Liesk. She taught me when I was 12 or 13 French. And what made her difference was she took an interest in me personally.
Thank you. Yeah. Took a real interest in you personally. Thank you. Yeah.
My best teacher was my history teacher, Mr. Williams, when I was in my teens. She opened my mind and my heart to history, and I still have a passion for it, and I believe that's due to her passion and being able to unlock the door to find what I really loved.
Wonderful. Somebody who's passionate. Love it. Okay, right in front. Do you want to do Jackie and then come forward to Peter, and that'll be fine.
My best teacher is George Warren. He's now 96 years old, and I'm still in touch with him. He was my teacher when I was 9, 10, 11.
Fabulous. Bless George. And finally, Peter. Yep, come forward to Peter.
My teacher I would nominate amongst a number of good ones was Milky Parrish. He was always known as Milky Parrish. I don't know why. He seemed to be about 120 because he was one of the older teachers. But he had the courage, the conviction, and the honesty to say to a bunch of unbelieving rabble that he believed in the Bible and said, who of you believes that Adam and Eve were created by God? And he said, well, I believe that. He was a Roman Catholic. It never left me. And I think it was one of those seeds the Holy Spirit pushed into my heart, you know, that this man stood there, believed. He was a good English teacher.
Awesome.
That was it.
Thank you, Peter. Brilliant. There's something about teachers. They do make a difference. They do make a difference. And I stand here as an ex-teacher. They do. Why do they make a difference? Because they listen. They spend time. They explain. You know those teachers that care and those who don't. You know. You know those teachers who are interested in you. You know those teachers who value you as a person, whether you're a high flyer or not, they value you. You know those who really want the best for you. It makes such a huge difference. Really excellent teachers change lives. They inspire, they encourage young people. Bless all those teachers this last year and a bit who've done an amazing job in our schools. They must not be lost sight of. For me, my best teacher taught at this school. This is my primary school. This was the most recent picture I could get. This is Rushwick Primary School. I'll be driving past it in a little under a fortnight, no doubt, seeing my parents. Mrs. Cummings, long auburn hair, my primary school teacher when I was 7. And she did something ridiculous looking back. She set me individual work, and she also allowed me every week to have a little slot when I would lead the class. She allowed this 7-year-old to do a little teaching slot. I don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for Mrs. Cummings. Wonderful woman. I love that woman. I remember meeting her about 10, 15 years ago on a train station. Wanted to give her a big hug, but it didn't seem quite so appropriate. But you know what I mean? Wow, they make a difference. What's that got to do with today's passage? Everything. The reason you look back at a wonderful teacher and you go, wow, they were amazing, it's the same sort of reason we need to look at those promises about ask, seek and knock and think, God, you're amazing. It's really important. You see, Matthew chapter 7 began with judgment. Don't know if you remember last week, but it was about judgment. Matthew 7 verses 1 to 6 is about judging other people. It's all about our relationship with others. Now, at the start of this passage, it's all about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's really clever, is Matthew 7. What Jesus is saying is, here's our relationship with others, don't judge them. Now here's your Heavenly Father. Look at verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, Jesus using hyperbole, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What is this saying about the character of God? Fee, could you go around the thing? What is it telling us about the character of God? When we think about ask, seek, knock, what is the character of our Heavenly Father? What is God really like? Let's have some short adjectives. Is it adjectives, English teachers? Yeah, describing words.
Very giving.
Very giving. Yeah, brilliant. Come on, guys. What is God like? Tell me.
Unconditional love.
Yeah, unconditional love. Thank you.
Very loving.
Really loving. Good. More descriptions of God. Come on, God's character. There's so much we could say.
Wanting to.
Wanting to. Yes.
Good, good father.
Good, good father. A cue for a possible song, I reckon.
He wants to bless us.
He does. He wants to bless us. Good. Let's have a few more. Down to the front again. Yep, just a few more. And then we'll stop.
Caring.
Caring.
Kind.
Kind. Do you know that, how many words could we fit here? But what we need to know is however good your human parents have been, and some of us will have had brilliant experiences of loving parents, some of us will not. What you need to know is our Heavenly Father is infinitely better than the best human parent ever. Infinitely better than the best human parent ever. Jesus wants us to know we're not praying to someone who's distant, who doesn't care about us, but to a loving Father who is so good. He is goodness. He is so loving. He is love. God is love, goes the scripture. In fact, St. John writes, anything which isn't loving isn't of God at all. He's really quite on it, is St. John. Our loving Father is interested in every bit of our lives, like your favorite teacher was, insofar as they could be. Parents, you do your best to help your kids. It's a hard job being a parent. But our Heavenly Father is more generous. He is more loving. He knows far better what we need. Human generosity, human love runs out when I get tired. When I get hangry, as Caroline said a few weeks ago, all those other things. But our Heavenly Father isn't like that. And I often wonder if he's sad and puzzled when we don't keep coming to him with our worries and concerns. He just longs for us to look to him. But we need to be careful here. Our Father in heaven is not a spiritual slot machine. Love that image. This is Mother Angelica. God is not a slot machine. We don't go to God and get something. We go to give something. Yeah, she's right, isn't she? She's right. God is not a slot machine. The problem for many of us is we want to put in the prayer and we want to receive. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? But as Christians, we can do it, can't we? Don't we do it at a bottom line at a certain point? I do. So how does this square with asking, seeking, knocking, receiving? If you like what it says in the Lord's Prayer about daily bread. So, what types of prayer do you think our loving Heavenly Father is most likely to answer positively? You've already started our discussion. You were on this a few questions ago with what you said. But I want us just to explore it briefly. And if you think this sounds familiar, I remember in February half term at an all-age service with a traffic light at the front for those of you with us. We had our red, we had our amber, we had our green if you were back here at that service. Fee, could you do the business again? Penultimate question to all of you. What types of prayer do you think our loving Heavenly Father is most likely to answer? I'm not saying will answer. That's in the hand of God. But is most likely to answer. Let's... Yeah, we'll come back to you. It's fine.
ones that are for the glory of his kingdom.
Yeah, ones for the glory of the kingdom. Very good. Can we come back to this gentleman who kick-started this thought? Go for it.
Heartfelt.
Yeah. Yeah, things laid on the heart. Yeah, spot on. Yep, we'll have a couple more.
Requests that conform with his will.
Absolutely.
His purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. With his purposes, yep.
He will answer all prayers, except the answer will either be yes or no.
Yeah. Yes, it may be no, and it might sometimes be wait and hang on. Let's go one more. Go for it, George.
Prayers of peace.
Yeah, I think this is important, actually. I often wonder with our prayers, you know, prayers to bless others. Prayers which deepen our relationship with him. Solomon asked for wisdom. God said that's a good prayer. Good prayer. Prayers about deepening our relationship with God. That's good. Prayers in line with God's purposes. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done, etc. We need to be the vessel for that. We can't always know which prayers God will answer, but if we're praying for things which are consistent with his love for us and for others, we may well get amazing answers. That might be praying for big things. We must pray for healing. It's what we do in the prayer chain frequently. Sometimes they're answered, sometimes they're not. But we must pray for healing. We must pray that we would know God more. It might be praying for some really basic things, literally our daily bread, those essential things that God is as concerned about as you and I are. But as he is our Father, let us love him and speak to him as a father who's got all the time in the world to hear what we've got to say. He's got all the space and love. So stick at prayer. Be passionate about what you are praying about. And even if you don't get what you ask for in prayer, you can still be blessed and encouraged. We won't put the microphone around. But I just want to say to you, even when your prayers aren't answered, there is still a blessing. You often don't feel it, especially when it's something we desperately want. But prayer deepens our relationship with God. Always, it deepens it. You'll have spent more time worshipping and hopefully listening to him as well. That deepens your relationship. And it may well be that he stopped you from making a mistake. I wonder how often critical things in our lives haven't been answered or have been answered in a way we don't want because it stopped us from doing something cataclysmic. The final verse today is one of those amazing verses. It's often referred to as the golden rule. And as Jim said at the early morning sermon, it's actually the golden rule expressed in a positive way. Often the so-called golden rule is expressed in a more negative way. But have a look at this. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Often it's expressed in the reverse form, you know, don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. And it's believed that Jesus was the first to express this so-called golden rule in its positive way. Really, it's come back to love your neighbor as yourself. have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. You see, when you know who God is, when we love him, trust him, obey him, prayerfully follow him, our behavior in the world, our behavior with others will be different, and it will bring in his kingdom. Like your teacher, Peter, who unashamedly would talk about his faith. He was going to do it. It was an extension of everything else he was doing. Our call is to live in a way which honors everyone, blesses them, sees in all people the image of God. There can be no xenophobia, racism, etc., etc. in the church. All are made in the image of God. Our job is to bring the love of Christ to all. Our job is to help be the vessels through which others discover their wonderful Heavenly Father. So, to wrap it up, remember God is your ultimate Father. Let him know how things are with you. Ask, seek, knock, be persistent. See what happens. Expect some surprises on the way. But one thing, God will never, ever let you down. I may let him down many, many times. He will never, ever let you down. So we're going to do something very un-British now. At my theological college, they called this Korean prayer. Korean prayer was basically when everybody prayed out loud at the same time. The beauty of everybody speaking at the same time is actually there are prayers going up to the Lord, and your prayer is part of that that is going. I would like every single one of you, if you can, to pray out loud, maybe for 20, 30 seconds, offering to the Lord what's on your heart today. He wants to hear from you. Ask him. Seek him. We're going to collectively knock on the door. And if you're not sure what to pray for, ask for the Lord to bless people who don't know him. Ask for the Lord to give you words for when you meet people who don't know him. Ask the Lord for his kingdom to fall on Holbrook, your street, where you live, your workplace. I think there's plenty we can ask him for. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'd like you then to all pray out loud. Be brave. I will start, and we'll go for about 30 seconds, all right? We up for that? Let's go for it. 1, 2, 3. Father, I... Amen. Amen.